I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
And good night.
You realize we do the stupid clap thing every time to try to like sync up our recording, but basically the good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night is the clap. Like, if you match up good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, you'll basically be good. Is that genius what I just said or stupid?
It's still a tie. It's the microseconds won't be on 100%. You know what I mean?
Ah, microseconds.
Yeah.
Well, Saif, first of all, we're not going to, I promise we will not spend a lot of time on the podcast talking about podcast business, but we do have to say thank you to how many people finally bit the bullet and jumped on Patreon for the Styles P episode.
I don't want to call it the Styles P episode, but yes, the locks talk, the Versus talk.
Well, thank no, but the regular Versus episode was free.
Right.
And the Styles P was the Patreon.
All right. I just want to believe that the talk was so good.
Right.
The talk game was talkable. They were like, let's jump on this. We got to get more of this.
Now, we are hearing that there's some confusion about Patreon, the $5 tier, the $10 tier. I want everyone to know we're figuring out a solution. It will be implemented. By the time you're hearing this podcast, it's already been implemented. There's a solution in place, but I just want you guys all to know, super grateful for people who actually spend their hard-earned money to rot with Juanep. You guys know this has been a labor of love. I did Van Lathan's podcast recently. You may remember Van Lathan in his previous life as the black guy on TMZ.
He's not that anymore?
No, he works for The Ringer and Spotify, does a podcast, and he lives out in L.A. He produced on that movie that Joey Badass starred in, that short that got that won the Oscar. He was a producer on that, so he's just doing different things. But he does a podcast with Rachel Lindsay, who I believe was on the Bachelor, The Bachelorette. Lovely. Talented lady.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, so they do the podcast together. So I was on there promoting the old Real Late album, which is streaming everywhere. And they asked me about a few things about podcasting. They definitely gave Juanep its flowers and love for being the OG, as people have been recently, which is nice. But then they went on to ask me about, the Joe Budden Rory Mall breakup, right? Okay. Which I know you give two shits about.
Yeah, I'm about to step out for a little while.
But I I'm slightly closer to that with my history with the podcast, etc. Right? So I gave my take on it, which was, I generally see that anything that happens as a Joe Budden breakup is Joe's fault because he's a dickwad. However,
wow. Wow.
No, no, no. I don't mean that in a bad way.
Oh, all right, of course. You mean the good dickwad.
I mean it in the way like that when you know someone you're friends with is a dickwad.
Right.
So it just is what it is. And you can assume that when a relationship goes south, if it happens over and over and over again, you know what I'm saying? You can usually assume. Yeah. Okay.
We're
right?
seeing a pattern in behavior here. We're seeing a pattern in behavior.
Listen, I have my own shortcomings that make me an asshole, but I have many different show co-hosts I've had in different ways over the years. I either still work with or are good friends with all of them. True. If you're someone who, like, when you work with people, they're out of your life after, there may be, you know, something going on there. But I also said on the flip side of that coin, Rory and Mal, if they never meet Joe Budden, they don't have a podcast career. They were the guys working with the hottest guy. That's so even though he fucked them, he also gave them a gift. This is life. This is it's not
know,
different.
I have trouble saying never. You never know.
True, true. It wouldn't have happened this way.
But this particular situation, yes.
And Sife, hold on. This particular situation in which they are scorching hot. Scorching hot.
Are they top scorching of the hot?
In the podcast world, if you were to go look at the charts,
yeah,
they're at the scorching hot top of the charts.
Joe Budden?
Joe Biden?
Joe
does
Budden.
Not have,
no, Joe
no,
Budden.
Joe Budden.
Yeah.
He's still at the top.
Uh-huh.
And now Rory and Mal are also at the top.
Oh, they have a new thing.
Yes, they left and have their own thing.
Oh, and they're at the top with their new thing.
Correct.
Congrats.
Congratulations. I'm very happy for them. So what I'm saying is everybody, they may have and probably did get fucked over by Joe in some ways because he can be, as I said earlier, a dickwad.
What
but there was a huge gift as well to working with him is what I'm saying.
What was the breakup about?
Wow, you're really humoring things you don't care about today. I appreciate that.
No, I'm curious now that they're on top.
The breakup was something along the lines of Rory wanted to dig into the financials. He wanted to get his own eyes on like the deal with Spotify.
And that's Joe Budden's deal.
And yes,
and
Joe
he has them working with him.
Correct.
It wasn't a three-way deal. It was Joe's deal.
Yeah, that they were a part of, but I think they wanted to physically see it. Like, it would, you know.
Fall back, man.
I understand. Yeah, that's what happened. They got to
fall back.
Right, which I understand why that would take you, you know, to a bad place. I get it. Rory and Mal are not wrong. Joe sounds like he fucking fumbled it. Anyways, all of this was to say about our Patreon situation that when I was asked by my friend Van Lathan about Rory and Mal, all I said was this. Do I feel bad that the situation was nasty? Yes, because Rory's a great dude. I don't know Mal well, but he seems like a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
However, they've made more money podcasting probably in the last 2 months than I probably have in my podcasting career. So I'm not going to be
easily.
I'm not going to be shedding tears about any. That was what the point was. So for everyone now who's supporting our Patreon, this really is me and Sife's first attempt to turn this into an actual something of business one day. So we are super grateful to the people who like when we see that number going up, Sife. I may be getting more joy from that right now than any other thing I have going on.
I agree 100%.
Seeing that number go up.
That number to me is real. That's reality rap right there. Ain't nothing to it. Ain't no big business. Ain't no deal. We don't have an ad company. We don't have rev share, whatever. All these words. That number right there is real, and I appreciate that.
So that was the long story, the way of saying that. We really appreciate it because so many people have made so much money in this game. And listen, Sife and I did not invent podcasts, but the hip-hop genre was no doubt incredibly impacted and in part created by what we did here. So it is really cool that at least we have our people who rep for the squad. Now, Sife.
Yo.
I am currently on vacation.
Congratulations.
Well, what is vacation,
I'm
right?
Sure.
I'm with my girlfriend.
Okay.
I'm with her dog, Rocky.
Okay.
And we are with my brother and his family at a beach house in North Carolina.
No, you don't have your dog.
I do not have my dog because this house doesn't take dogs.
So you snuck a dog in.
Yeah, but because Rocky's a tiny little
guy. A little guy.
He doesn't even shed. He doesn't even have fur. He has hair. He doesn't even have fur. Bear, you can't sneak Bear. He's leaving fur everywhere. There's no sneaking.
And you're in a beach house.
We're in a beach house.
Okay.
So Bear is with Mom Dukes. Like, it's like in Boys in the Hood. When at the beginning, when Trey goes to spend the summer with Furious Styles. Furious Styles. How do you say the father's name in?
I say Lawrence Fishburne. okay. You know what I just noticed about Boys in the Hood recently? I just saw a piece of it the other day, and he talks about gentrification in the hood.
Yeah.
But I don't remember hearing that word until like the last 5-6 years. You know what I mean? But then I watched Boys in the Hood, and he's like, yeah, they want the crime to go up in these neighborhoods so that the property goes down and that they buy it for a cheap price and then they bring the property. I was like, this was 91 or some shit?
91.
Somewhere around
there. Or 89.
Something. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. That's exactly what's happening.
Well, it's the speech that he gives, right?
Yeah, like at the billboard, and then people start gathering around.
Yo, so here's the question, and this is not what I even thought about as a... It's 91. This is not even what I thought about as a topic today, but...
Yes, I'm good at my job.
I know we recently talked about Menace, because I had rewatched Menace. Like, Boys in the Hood is sort of the more commercial, sort of a little bit... There's a little bit more cheesiness to it than... Menace is a little more raw, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no real hero. There's no Ricky. There's no real Ricky in Menace.
Right.
You know, although, I mean, there's Sharif. And by the way, Sharif gets killed in Menace, too.
Yeah.
The Muslim, anti-drinking, anti-violence, good brother, he also gets shot.
But he's not the main character, though.
Right. Ricky's a main character.
Yeah.
And by the way, not even just Ricky. Cuba Gooding Jr. Trey's a great character too.
Yeah,
the only real asshole of that group of stars is Ice Cube, is Doughboy, even Doughboy has redeeming qualities.
Yeah,
he's not a fucking monster. In Menace,
product of his environment.
He's a pro, and by the way, so is O-Dog, but O-Dog is so much more extreme than Doughboy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if you do power rankings in early '90s. Los Angeles-based black film. O-Dog is way more gangster than Doughboy. Remember the scene where Doughboy goes, yo, we got a problem here? We got a problem? And lifts his shirt up, and he's like, well, if that's with O-Dog and MC8, Doughboy's getting killed in that scene. It's over. Movie's over. So it is interesting because I just think Menace is a little harder edge to it. Neither of those movies end well. But in some ways, the end of Menace is even more fucked up. Dennis. So anyways, back to my vacation.
No, well, I was just going to say, Menace is like, it's a dope-ass hood story to watch and some gangster shit. But Boys in the Hood is a family story. Like, you don't even have to be into hood movies to watch Boys in the Hood. It's like just an American story, you know what I mean?
I'm trying to think of what it is to me that makes Boys in the Hood in some ways the better, bigger movie, but also the cheesier movie.
I think.
Is it Cuba Gooding Jr.?
I mean, if you're going to look at the actors, yeah, but it's like the story is like you could watch Boys in the Hood on a plane where you couldn't watch Menace. You know what I mean? They wouldn't show Menace on a plane where like where you have like very mainstream audiences, but you can watch Boys in the Hood.
So Menace is just too edgy.
Yeah.
And by the way, we got to try to interview Kane. We should interview Kane from Menace. I want to know how he was cast. Like, I know he was in, I think he was in Michael Jordan's Playground. I think the two movies he was in was Michael Jordan's Playground, which was barely a movie, and Menace. And then after that, bro, never to be seen from again. And his acting in Menace is pretty bad.
I think it says pretty good. He says pretty bad.
Pretty bad. Kane's pretty bad. Now, here's the funny part. So I just searched Boys in the Hood to get the year. And on Google, it brought up the people also ask thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the top questions about Boys in the Hood on Google.
Uh-huh.
Number one, is Boys in the Hood a true story?
Okay.
Let's see what it says. No, Saif, it's not.
Of course
not. You don't say. You don't say. Oh,
it's an amalgamation of many true stories.
That's right, of John Singleton, God rest his soul's stories. Next question. Yo, people are wild, yo. People are really wild. Next question. Who killed Doughboy in Boys in the Hood?
Okay.
But, wait, Doughboy doesn't die in Boys in the Hood.
Does he?
No. The last scene is him hanging out with
right,
Trey.
The point, yeah.
Yo, Dough, you still got one brother left.
Thanks. Thank you for that.
And by the way, that was pretty good. I nailed that. I said it just like Cuba Gooding Jr. Now, I don't remember. Is there like print? Is there like writing after that and says Doughboy got killed? Does that happen?
I don't remember.
Let's see what it says. Shortly after, Trey sneaks out to join Doughboy, Dookie, and Monster. Trey embraces him and tells Doughboy he has a brother in him.
Mm-hmm.
The epilogue reveals that Doughboy saw Ricky buried the next day and was himself murdered 2 weeks later.
Oh, yes.
Damn.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yo, that made me sad right now. Not even watching the movie.
He got popped, baby.
Damn. Doughboy 2? Fuck. All right. And the third question, and this one's important.
Wait, did it say was who killed him?
It doesn't say. No, all it says is that the epilogue says he was killed. Was Doughboy a Crip?
Mm. Because the guys that killed Ricky were in red.
Doughboy and his crew were based on the Rollin' 60s Crips. Mm. Whereas the other rival crew was based on the Crenshaw Mafia Bloods.
Mm.
I got to say this. I in no way support gang violence. I'm from the suburbs. I have very little knowledge of gang violence. And obviously I see everything that everyone else sees with it being pretty terrible. I got to tell you though, Saif. West Coast gangs come up with some tremendous names. come on. Rollin' 60s is fire. Like just as a name, that's fire.
Rollin' 60s?
Crenshaw Mafia is pretty fire too.
Did you see Talib Kweli interview Terrace Martin?
Mm. I saw Talib post that he was interviewing. I saw a clip.
And there's a clip about Terrace Martin being raised Crip in LA. It's an amazing, amazing piece of information about gang culture and how it ties back to African tribe and all tribal shit. And it was really good.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I never even really thought about
it's really,
that.
I mean, of anyway. Course not, because they only, you know, the media only expresses, reports violence and gang activity. You know what I'm saying? But it's like really like family.
God, you realize how little people think of that part of it?
How could you?
We are never so mentioned. Far. Guys, we are so far apart, and this ties us back full circle to what I wanted to bring up to you. So I know one app, we have all kinds of listeners. We have listeners like me, super suburban white people.
Yo, yo, yo.
We have a lot of people like Saif, you know, people born in the Bronx, in cities, in urban areas. Not many like Saif that like used to be hood dudes who now literally hang out with the whitest people on planet Earth. He's unique in that regard. We'll get to that, which is Saif, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about with regard to code switching. But we'll get there. But what I was going to say is that people from my sort of background, it generally grow up and go to like the beach. That is a thing, you know? We didn't do it a ton when I was a kid. We did it. We did it a fair amount. We would go to Maine. We would go to a beach up there. And then when I got with my ex, her family had a house in like the Delaware beaches. So that started becoming a regular part of my life, was going to the Delaware beaches. And there was always a part of it that stood out to me as like often being just like incredibly white, like always white. Like, I know there are black beaches, right? There's Virginia Beach and Norfolk and places like that where, like, there's a black community that has beaches that people go to vacation at, et cetera, et cetera. But when you're white and you go to the places that other white people tend to go to the beach at, you know, Saif, not only is it that it's white, but, like, so I've been here since yesterday. Today, we're recording this on a Sunday. I got here Saturday. Went to the beach this morning for an hour. We rented a house with a pool. And I'm really excited that we have a pool because I don't know how to really enjoy going to a crowded beach with, not crowded, but a good amount of people.
Mm-hmm. Summer vacation, beach life.
And I look around and the first people next to us have three flags. First of all, why did you bring a flag to the
flag
beach?
Flag in the beach?
Why did you bring like, a flag?
Like a flagpole into the sand?
That is correct.
Wow.
So
yikes.
So yikes. So there are three flags, Saif.
American flag, what, off top.
Off top, Old Glory, Stars and Stripes.
Okay. I ain't mad at it. I love America.
I love America. Let's rock with one flag. Oh, wait, you have a second flag that looks very similar. Mm-hmm. But it has what, the 13 stars? What flag is that? Is it the colonies flag?
The first flag, yeah. That's the actual first flag. Spangled banner. That's the banner.
That's it.
Yeah.
That was the banner.
The 13, yeah.
The 13 stars. And then on the side of that, just a solid.
It can go so many ways.
But they're all the same way, aren't they? It can go so many ways, but it's all the same way. And this version of that way is the old solid don't tread on me flag.
Don't tread on me. So this person's a patriot.
So that is that what that means? That could just be you're a patriot.
Don't tread on me is some, yeah, isn't that like some Revolutionary War shit?
Originally, but then it's become some right-wing calling card.
Yes.
But obviously there is a difference. Here's the interesting part. There obviously is a difference between that and a MAGA flag.
Yes.
Right? There's levels. They would have brought a MAGA flag if they wanted a MAGA flag.
No,
it's
not,
right?
That's not MAGA. No.
But it's like the third flag, Saif, when I said there was a third flag, to me the flags that are options are the thin blue line.
Yep.
I'm seeing a lot of those. Yeah. Those are big.
Confederate.
A Trump flag.
Straight up Trump. White flag with blue letters, Trump.
Or the Trump 2024. That's the thing that exists.
Oh, I haven't seen that one yet. I've seen Trump 2020.
You have that, but that's...
There's no more Trump Pence.
No, Trump Pence is dead.
Trump Pence was a good one, and they're like, no, fuck that.
Pence is the only real split that happened. That's really the only thing that happened. And then there's don't tread on me, which is definitely a thing of that side. So it's all right leaning to very right shit, but I guess with slight nuance between what they could be. But all of this is to say, I don't really like going to public beaches on the East Coast. Like, even the only beach that I've ever been to that did not have like the contingency of, let me say it,
Are you going to say it?
White trash.
Uh-huh. Okay.
The only beach I've ever been to that was like not like that at all was when we went to Ogunquit in Maine. Because in Ogunquit, Maine.
Don't say that again. Can you not say that word again?
Ogunquit?
That word just brings like a pain to my ear. What is this word?
It's a terrible
word. I know it's a Native American word, but it right. just sounds.
But when you say it,
so
when you say it
white,
the way we
no.
say it, right. If I was like Native American, it would sound cool and correct, but instead it sounds like a nasty mess. But Ogunquit, when we went there, everyone was either like it's one of the gayest places in America.
Mm.
So it's gay. And also tons of Canadians because it's okay. all the way up in Maine.
Right.
So
right.
as a result, not a lot of white trash. Between the gays and the Canadians, not a lot of white trash was there. But every other beach that I go to, it's like.
Well, you're going flags. To public beaches, right?
Well, this is technically a private beach mm-hmm. that goes with the places you rent.
Right.
But these rental communities are huge. It's right. not really private.
So private beaches have the more uppity white folks, you say.
Probably. I've never been to a real private beach. Or yeah. By the way, they're racist too. They just wouldn't bring the flag to the beach.
Right.
And you know what?
But you're saying the people that bring the flags are white trash?
The people who bring a "Don't Tread on Me" flag,
yeah,
yeah, that's what I'm likely saying.
Wow,
what do you think? That's a do you think I'm? Is that a stretch?
I don't know. I don't know if every patriot is just.
Oh, hold on! Mm-hmm. Don't paint me with this brush. Mm. Not every patriot is busting out the "Don't Tread on Me" flag because it's no longer. It has lost its roots. Let's look this up.
They've all lost their roots.
They've all lost their roots. So don't let's.
I was reading something the other day. The Confederate flag is not even actually the Confederate flag.
What is it?
What we call the Confederate flag is one specific battle flag, and they've adapted that to be the symbol of the Confederacy, which is not. The Confederate flag looks more like an adaptation of the American flag.
Oh, really?
So they took this battle flag and made it the symbol for, you know, what they believe.
Well, listen, and there's a lot of terrible things we could say about the Confederate flag, but let me just give credit where credit is due.
Mm-hmm.
It's a solid-looking flag. They chose a good one.
They designed it. For what they did and what it meant, design-wise...
No, I'm not mad at it design-wise.
Design-wise is fire. It holds
like,
up.
No, listen. Especially when you consider it how bad like the graphic design is on Fox News. Like, right-wingers do not do good with graphic design. No. They're not artistic.
I do like the blue line flag, though.
Oh, you think the
blue... I like the blue line flag. It's dope.
Yo, it's so.
It's
they,
like a
so, do,
like I would I like if it didn't mean what it meant, I would put that on a shirt like it's black and white with the blue, with the dark blue line, the royal blue.
But by the way, what is that supposed to mean exactly?
I don't
what
know.
Is the blue?
Oh. All
right, so hold on.
Why is it black and white?
Why right? And why are you changing what the flag looks like? I don't know why y'all are doing that and considering that patriotic. That seems weird, but it's okay. Let's
I had an encounter with a police officer this week, and
you did?
I did all my shit. I have a very long story for you. I'll tell you. But I did all my shit, rolled down all the windows, turned off the car, got away scot-free.
You did because you did everything right.
Maybe I do it all right.
All right, hold on. I want to hear the story. You said you have a story with it, though.
I had a bunch of stories. Go on.
I want to hear all your stories. Okay, so the Gadsden flag. According to Wikipedia, is a historical American flag with a yellow field depicting a timber rattlesnake coiled and ready to strike. Beneath the rattlesnake are the words, "Don't tread on me." Some modern versions include an apostrophe. That's great. The flag is named after politician Christopher Gadsden, 1724 to 1805, who designed it in 1775. By the way, not nearly as good as the Confederate flag or even the thin blue line flag from a design standpoint. It was during the American Revolution. It was used by the Continental Marines as an early motto flag. It's okay. sometimes used in the United States as a symbol for gun rights and limited government.
Ooh.
There are Americans today that still display the Gadsden flag in support of freedom, independence, and for the United States military. So you're right. It sounds like, in theory, the Don't Tread on Me is a definitive step away from a MAGA flag. It's not. It's still probably right-wingers, probably, but they're not saying they love Trump. They're more just saying they're military and they want less government.
There's a lot of Republicans who don't like Trump, but they have to vote Republican. You know what I mean?
Of course. So they likely did, this crowd, but they might just be anti-government, which, by the way...
Anti-big government.
Anti-big government.
I don't understand this argument at all.
Why? In what way?
I never understand the bigger government, less smaller government. Like, it's... And then, like, the people that say, we don't need a government, but, like, but you... You proclaim this love for the Constitution, but then you say we don't need government. But the Constitution is the government. It's formed the government.
Correct.
Like when you speak of the Second Amendment, you fight so hard for the Second Amendment, which is in the Constitution, which is the cornerstone of the government. And then you say we don't want big government. Which one is it? And then it's a money thing, right? Everything's so confusing. Everything.
But it's but ultimately it's a money thing. We don't want to pay taxes.
You don't want to pay taxes to the country you love, which the taxes is supposed to be used to make the country better, right? Like, I don't get it. Like, how do you not want to pay taxes, but you love the country? How do you think the country functions?
I know.
How do you go to Mount Rushmore and look at it with this amazement, and where do you think the money comes from?
Yeah, you want to have your ridiculous over the top July 4th fireworks celebrations. How?
Yeah, how?
Yo, it's so funny too. Do you ever deal with any, you have to have in your circles, maybe Dave's like this, I don't know. Rich people, the way rich people talk about taxes, I need to get to a point of being rich where I care about taxes the way rich people care about taxes.
I mean, they're taking a lot.
So they're like, yo, they moved to whole different states just on the taxes.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize, someone told me recently, I didn't realize that in the case of like an expensive property, like $1 million home, maybe more than that, maybe a couple million dollars, whatever it might be, you could be paying in New York, you know, something like, depending on how expensive the house is, you could be paying close to $100,000 in property tax a year.
Easily.
Whereas you go to a place like Connecticut next door and it drops down like in half or less.
Yeah.
But still, the thing that always miffed me about that is, and this is me being bad with money, I always think of it as, but if you have enough money to live in a place like that, are you really stressed that much about the money
right.
and taxes?
Like, did you scrounge up $2 million and not right. have, like, you need
enough extra?
You need $4 million to get a $2 million house.
Right.
Like, I got $199,85.
That's all I got.
We got it.
But we can't pay any taxes on this. So you'd rather move dumb far away to pay the I don't know, man. Maybe one day I'll be rich enough to understand.
Yeah, we don't know about money. Call Rory and Maul. We know about money.
Yo, guys, talk to us real quick. Explain these taxes. So anyways, that was a long way of saying I have mixed feelings on the beach vacation. And I wonder,
so
like,
now here's the thing, it's not just that it's all white people, is that there's no black people. You know what I mean? It's like, are they not wanted here, or do they know not to come here?
Or do they just not want to come?
Right.
And also, is anyone going to see me here in a place this white? Like, I feel weird being in places this white.
Now, is that a New York thing?
A little bit.
Yeah.
And remember, by the way,
we're spoiled in New York. We are spoiled. We have so many different types of people around us.
It is true. It is true. And like, you remember my ex-in-laws were white.
Yeah.
Like the whitest white people.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I loved them. They were great. But there was a part of me that was always like, man, this is really white, which is sort of the interesting thing about, you know, being with Natalie now, who is Middle Eastern and very, you know, people could see her and think of her as white. I think she would get white treatment a lot of the time, most of the time.
Yeah.
But she's still not. She's not culturally so white at all,
mm-hmm.
but also just in terms of physical appearance, she's not that white either. And I feel a little more comfortable. And then her parents are straight up foreign.
Right.
Which we haven't even talked about, Saif. I haven't, it's been all the way since I was in high school was the last time I had a significant
other. You had that Brazilian chick.
Exactly.
Or Gustavisto, or whatever they say. Broccoli Ronnie, what do they say?
I don't know what the fuck you
speak
saying.
That. You speak that Portuguese shit, that Gustolini Basta Broccoli.
Why are you saying things that sound like Italian though? but it's the first time in a long time that I've had a significant other's whose family is decidedly foreign.
Yeah.
And speaks a different language around me.
Mm.
It's been a long, long time. And we had a conversation recently that I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to. Not you, because, again, people don't understand that you can be Puerto Rican the way Saif is, where it's literally just sort of a racial and cultural description.
New York description. Indicate,
yeah, it's not a language identifier. But she was saying to me, she said sometimes she's had in her life a little bit of envy for people like me whose parents are like completely American because of like the level of understanding I can have with them, because I'm sure this is super common and I'm sure a lot of listeners, this is so basic to y'all and I apologize for not, I was not aware, I didn't think about things like this. Natalie speaks Hebrew well enough to communicate with her parents in Hebrew, and they speak English well enough to communicate in English. But neither of them speaks the other language well enough to be perfectly in sync.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like Natalie's natural language is English. Her parents' English is good. It's really good, but it's not nuanced. Natalie's Hebrew is really good. Natalie's Hebrew is really good. It's fluent, but it's not nuanced. So as a result, I never even thought of this idea. You could live your whole life with your parents where you know each other so well, but your language and communication only has a certain level of nuance because neither of you speaks the other language perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. My in-laws, I have the same issue. I never really have a deep conversation with them because they're immigrants, you know what I'm saying? And they don't, there's just some things they just don't really get or choose to get, you know what I mean?
That's a perfect way of putting it, choose to get.
Yeah.
Because they've been here for how long?
Yeah, forever. 50, 40 something years, maybe more.
So would you say that you know them well?
Yes.
Like there's there's love and affection.
I know them well, but I don't know how to say this without sounding bad, but they're simple.
The relationship is the whole, all the conversations are like,
it's just
basically.
Yeah.
Basic.
Yeah. Very basic. Yeah.
Do they understand like what you do?
To a point, but not really. Like, to a point. No, then no. The answer is no.
Not really, no.
No, they don't understand.
And when they really want to communicate with each other, including your wife, they start speaking their native language, correct?
No.
Not anymore?
No. She doesn't speak it.
Oh, she doesn't?
So she hears and answers in English.
She, okay, got it. Okay. It's an interesting thing, though, because that's one of the things about language is, like, you only, the way we communicate with each other, you can only go so deep. So, like, I've now met Natalie's parents, like, 5 to 7 times, developing a real fondness for them. But, like, we can't go in depth on, like, political, cultural.
No, right. Well, you did. You did with your other in-laws.
But dig this. But Natalie's family is Israeli and Jewish. My ex's family was not even close. But that's the thing. In a lot of ways, language is number one in terms of connecting people. Yeah. Language, you might think that, like, my religion or the origin, the country that my family's from, that connects us. But the truth is, if we got stuck in a fucked up situation, the people we're connecting with first are the ones we can communicate with. That's
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah.
That it's number one. Your religion will go out the window if you can't communicate. Like, you could be where are the Muslims from in, like, the, all the Russian areas?
Yeah, like, they're like the ones that are, like, the part of Russia that's in Asia, like, above Afghanistan.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's where that fighter Khabib Nurmagomedov is from.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All those cats are Muslim.
Yeah.
They're going to relate to while they speak Russian, they're going to relate really well to the members of the Nation of Islam mosque in downtown Newark if they end up in a place together.
No.
People are going to relate to who they can speak to.
Yeah, exactly.
And we don't think about that enough. And, like, it doesn't mean that I can't, over time, build an incredible bond with her family, and I hope I will. But at first, certainly, it's like it takes time to get the nuance. All of my shtick and who I am as a person comes within the nuance of language.
Yeah. What up, son?
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
When you say what up, son, to someone who just learned English, the what up is not even a word. And then I'm not your son. You know what I mean? Like, it's but that's all nuance.
So I asked Natalie the other day, I don't know how it came up. We had a conversation about code switching. And the way that I sound,
I had a conversation about this too, and I don't quite get code switching. Go ahead.
So she was asking, we were talking about how I sound on Hot versus how I sound on the K Show,
mm-hmm.
versus how I sound here,
mm-hmm.
versus how I sound on Cheap Heat, for example. And
when do you record Cheap Heat?
When?
I'm always curious.
It's like a Wednesday or Thursday situation.
Okay, because they're cutting into my weekday shit. My weekends are ruined because you do a fucking wrestling podcast.
But by the way, I don't want to do that during weekdays. I'm happy you're here. I have to because of the wrestling schedule.
Go on.
Sorry. So I speak, like, Michael Kay has heard me before on Hot and talked about the quote-unquote affect on my voice.
Mm.
You know, and it's funny because if I were to call Ebro or Laura off the air, I sound the way I sound at any moment. But when we go on the air on Hot 97, I do sound slightly different. Either slightly or notice it. You know, we have listeners right now who I'm sure can tell us because they listen to me on both shows and are like, yeah, dude. You are a different person on each show. Like, I know you, but Jay-Z has this quote. Jay-Z has this quote of that he said he was always the same person all the time, no matter who he was talking to, anywhere, any place. He was always the same. I'm not like that. I do code switch to some.
I don't agree with. I don't believe that about the Jay-Z.
And by the way, if that's true, it only comes with later with privilege once you're Jay-Z.
It came later. Yes, I came later.
But the first time he went to a meeting to try to sell the company on the Rockaware idea, he wasn't talking the same way he did in the meeting at Def Jam.
Maybe he was being authentic, but there's some more stuff you learn as you get older. older, wiser, richer. You know what I mean? Like, it was, yeah.
Well, but but that's the question I have. I don't think one of them is not authentically me. One might be more authentic.
Okay, what does code switching mean? Look that up, since you're in your Wikipedia mode today.
Ooh, thank you.
What is this? Pina colada?
My brother just brought me a beverage. By the way, this is going to turn into a drunken one up.
Okay. Tell your brother he needs some regular sneakers. All that fucking open footwear shit is disgusting.
Yo, Saif said you need some regular sneakers. Keep going.
All that footwear shit is disgusting.
The open footwear shit is disgusting. He's disgusted. Yours. I posted a picture of us in Rockaway and he saw your feet and he was fucking just disgusted.
You've never seen him.
He says you haven't seen his feet. That's
never would you.
He covers
never
his
would
feet.
You.
And he said you'll never see his feet because he would never wear flip flops. He said he's going to feel self-conscious about flip flops.
You're welcome.
Saif says you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Saif, you hear that?
I don't know what he's talking about.
He said he texted you back too late, and then you never texted him back.
That sounds right.
He said that sounds right. All right, I'm excited. Thank you.
Sorry, we're almost done. We'll get back to the beach life. I'm sorry.
Delicious. Bailey's and coffee. Wow, I'm on vacation, baby. Woo! Shouts to Bailey's. Mm.
So what is code switching? I'm an ignorant person. I'm an ignorant doofus.
Code switching is changing the way you talk based on the company you're keeping.
So time and place? Is that what it is?
To some degree.
Because a lot of people use code switching with a very negative connotation. And I would not talk to my grandmother the way I would talk to Prodigy. Rest in peace. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the same.
Okay. Do you talk? Who's the whitest friend you have in comedy?
Chris Gethard.
And I know there's... Oh, wow. Chris Gethard.
Ryan Hamilton.
There's what?
Ryan Hamilton.
Hold on. Are you saying that Ryan Hamilton is even whiter than Chris Gethard?
Yes, because Chris Gethard loves Big L and Run
right,
the Jewels.
Right, he loves hip-hop and stuff.
And,
right,
like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's from Jersey. Like, I would say Ryan Hamilton.
Chris presents incredibly white, but he has cultural knowledge, right?
Yeah, New York, East Coast, Northeast, hip-hop, whatever. He's a mix. Ryan Hamilton is from a farm in Idaho. He's a Mormon from a town of 1,000 people. Mm.
Okay. When you talk to Ryan Hamilton, this pasty white Elmer's glue devil.
Yeah.
Do you believe you talk differently when you talk to him than you would if you were to call Sheik Looch right now?
Yes, but not as much as you think. Not as much as you think.
No. See, I was actually, I know you. So I know the answer is you change it slightly, but you're not real. You're basically the same all the time because part of your charm in being in your comedy world is you being who you are.
Right.
So you don't switch to be like them.
Not to comedians. But now if I'm talking to a club owner, might be a little different.
What about when we go to one of those meetings and there's like a 32-year-old cute brunette Jewish executive type that is your favorite in the world named Dana. Dana Silverman.
Yeah.
She works at MSG Networks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
When you talk to that person,
yeah,
do you think you change?
Not as much as you think because it's all about entertainment. Now, you're talking when I'm checking into a hotel or when I call customer service of United Airlines, that's a change. That's a change.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Luis Diaz is a change.
What does Luis Diaz sound like?
Very white.
Really?
Yeah, Luis Diaz is white. Luis Diaz is, hi, hello, good evening. Not to say that's white, but you know what I mean. Yeah, Luis Diaz is hotels, flights, cops. Until the cop recognizes me, until a New York cop recognizes my voice or recognizes my face, that's Luis Diaz.
Right.
Walking into a restaurant, hey, do you have a table for two? Table for two? I would love a booth.
Okay, so let's keep going. Who are you when you talk to your wife?
Well, that's a whole other complicated issue. I don't even know who I am anymore. that's... I don't know. That's a good question.
Like, somewhere between?
Yeah. It's in the middle. More Cypher Sounds, though.
You're more Cypher Sounds.
Yeah. More Cypher Sounds. That's Cypher Sounds. Cypher Sounds is who I am. Like, I don't even like when people say your stage name. It's not my stage name. It's my name. You know what I mean? It's my name.
It's so interesting. I just, you know, I the way I talk, like right now, the way that I'm talking, on vacation, couple beverages in, comfortable. This is me. This is how I talk. Now,
I would say you and I on this podcast is the truest forms of each other.
Ourselves.
Yeah, ourselves.
Yeah, I think so too, because it's, for me, I talk with a sort of proper diction in general, mm-hmm. but can seamlessly weave into hip hop talk.
And you throw in some words sometimes.
Like what?
I don't know. Like, you know, one of them four syllable joints, son.
Oh, okay, got it. Sure. But I also throw in hip hop shit.
Yeah.
It's I gotta tell you.
But what's code switching though? When is it bad?
I believe that when people use it as it's bad, I believe people who say that are fucking assholes. Anyone who deals with different people at different times code switches. But I do not care. Like, I don't know anyone, black or white, who does not code switch at certain times. To your point, it's about knowing time and place. Like, that's just life.
But okay, so let's say we're gonna dig.
Let's keep going. Okay.
You're checking into a hotel, and in front of you is someone of the, I'll say, ghetto persuasion.
Okay.
Doesn't matter the race. Okay. Just okay. You can tell there's some hoodness going on in yep. front of you.
I actually saw that at the hotel I checked in the other day in Richmond.
And some of those people don't code switch. And they're like, hey, yo, I need a room. Like, yo, y'all got two rooms?
Oh, but, Saif, to your point, if you don't code switch at all, like you're not able to change based on the circumstance you're in, there's probably a reason you might not end up in a great circumstance. Because it shows a basic lack of how to operate in a way that's beneficial to you.
Yeah.
It's a self-preservation thing.
Mm.
You know, like it's now hold on. If code switching were to entail that, like when I went to have my meetings at ESPN, they were like, hey, so we know you do the hip hop thing at Hot 97.
But yeah.
Like, you don't really care about that, do you? And I went, of course not. Yeah, I listen, I try to appease them. It's a joke, this rap music. Listen, it's just a political plan so I can be loved. Of course. That it's almost like, is that what people think code switching is? Like, no, the code switching would be that when they say, so you work at Hot 97 too. And I'd go, I do. I've worked there for about 15 years. It's a really big part of my life. Oh, really? How did you fall in love with hip-hop? Well, it's funny. You know, my family, you know, we went to New York and blah, 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 blah. And I might say it in a way that's digestible, but I don't, mm-hmm. for them, but I don't change who I am. The story doesn't change.
Right.
You're just changing the way you communicate it to make it make sense to the people you're with. Like, even from a humor standpoint, like I am funny on both Hot and on the K Show, but the way that I'm funny is different. It's got a different feel in both situations.
And
frankly,
I'm
what
mistake.
It comes down to, Sife, is we're incredibly talented because we're able to operate in multiple worlds. A lot of people aren't. They can only operate in one way, and if you don't get it that way, you're out.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that we are able to operate in multiple places. Now, you told me, hold on, you had a story about your arrest.
Not arrest, but yet. I would say detained.
I have to tell you about the Robert E. Lee statue that I saw in Richmond.
Yeah, so I saw you post that.
I got to talk to you about that. And when I was deciding where I should stop in Richmond, I got to tell you about my phone call to Pusha T. I mean, where I should stop in Virginia.
So, well, are you going to tell me now?
No. Well, yes, right about in 30 seconds.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, it'll only be on Patreon.
No. Fortunately, it'll be on
Patreon. Oh, fortunately, it will only be on Patreon. And if I finish this Bailey's and Coffee, I will be drunk by the end of the episode. So this should be good.
Okay, turn up.
Turn up, baby. It's vacation style. We love you guys. Thank you for joining us. And like I said, hopefully you've looked right now at the patreon.com/OneUpIsDead. We've come up with a solution that we think will please everyone for now.
OneUp is life.
I said OneUp is dead. It's patreon.com/OneUpIsLife. Thank you, Billy June. And it's wherever you can find your podcast, but on Patreon, that's where you get the special things like what we're about to do right now. And Sif, I think this new price plan we've come up with for the time being is a good play for everyone.
Yeah. Thank you, Rory and Maul, for helping us out. Help us figure out this price plan.
And by the way, Rory and Maul, please send us a check. Pay homage. You know, Joe should write us a check too.
Joe has to write us a check.
And what about Nori?
I would give Nori a pass.
Well, only because Nori was so ridiculous. Nori would come on our podcast and not even know he was on a podcast.
Yeah.
So we can't even say that he bit us because he didn't know what he was doing.
No, but he shows so much love.
By the way, do you remember the episode when Nori told us on One Ep the story about shooting his friend?
Yeah.
Well, who was the person again who got shot?
Was his name Kung Fu Joe or something like that?
Yeah. Something like Karate Joe.
Yeah.
Something like that. I swear to God, he didn't even know where we were. So he didn't steal anything. He just came up with this shit on his own. But man, I'll tell you right now, I watched the T-Pain Drink Champs this week. Shouts to EFN and Nori. They're having the best run of their entire time right
so
now.
So much fun, man.
They're killing it. Shouts to those guys. So anyways, we're going to keep recording on Patreon. We'll see you there.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.